Rabbi, I saw this very nice vault. I think it's a very nice concluding vault before we proceed to Simon Mem Dalet. Before we conclude Simon Mem Vav, the Lachos of Bikas Hashachar. Such a beautiful vault. I heard this in my commute. It says, it's such a beautiful vault. I think it's such a wonderful vault. It's said in the name of the Chassam Sofer. I did not see the Chassam Sofer inside. But it is a beautiful vault. So it says that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to know one of the $1 million question. What's the $1 million question? How can it be that tzaddikim that suffer and there's a shoyim are doing so well? It's one of those questions that there's no really good answer. You know, there's like sort of answer, but no real good answers. And Moshe Rabbeinu was troubled by it. Was really troubled. And he asked Kodesh Baruch Hu, please, what's the answer? Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Gemara says, he showed him the kesher shel tefillin. He showed him the kesher, the knot of the tefillin shel rosh. And that's what he showed. Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't show him is more than that. The presence of Kodesh Baruch Hu is not. But he showed him the kesher shel tefillin, the knot of the tefillin. Question, of course, is what is our answer? It's a very good question. Tzadik ve raloi, rosha ve toivloi. What does kesher shel tefillin help? Beautiful question. So Chassam Sofer apparently answers as follows. He said, when you look at the knot of the tefillin, there's something very interesting. The knot of the tefillin. So when you look at the tefillin shel rosh, so you've got the right side, which is, I'm showing my head now, you've got the right side, which is on my right, yeah, let's go with my right for now, and you go, there's a knot over here. And what happens there with the right side of the Ritzua? What happens then? But what happens then subsequently? Where does he end up? On my left. Right? That's how it goes. It goes circle over here, and then afterwards, eventually, it goes like this. Similar also with the tefillin, vice versa, but the side over here, eventually it goes through the knot, and it goes over here. Now, in Kabbalah it says, we didn't actually see this in Halacha, but in Kabbalah it says that you've got the right side and the left side. The right side is a bit longer than the left side. One represents rachamim, one represents din. Okay, these are Kabbalistic concepts, which I'm not very particularly familiar with. One side is rachamim, one side is din. And we've got to have both. Kodesh Baruch Hu's got both aspects, the side of rachamim, mercy, of din, of justice, strictness as opposed to kindness. They're both aspects. Chassam Sofer says as follows. He says, you want to know who is a tzaddik? You know, you want to know who is a tzaddik? So when you look at the tefillin, from the, you know, you see the right side. This is, you know, the right side. And then, but the, in reality, we look at after the pass of the kesher tefillin, the right side turns out to be the left side. You might think that somebody's a real, real tzaddik. You might think somebody's a real, real tzaddik. Upon scrutinizing a little bit closer, you may see that, you know, it's maybe not all that shiny. You know, what may look on the right side actually is on the left side. Vice versa, somebody looks like he's like a... He's a low life, you know. He's like the rock bottom of the society, and you think that what is he already? What? But in truthfully, you think he's left. He's actually coming out on the right side. In HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes, in his real values, in his real Avodas Hashem, in really his breaking through his own nisyonos, he is the real tzaddik. So just because it looks like he's on one side, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes, really looking at the kesher shel tefillin, you know, he's actually. The appearance, what's the expression? Appearance are deceiving. Yeah, deceptive. It's not really the way it looks. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered to Moshe Rabbeinu's very good question. Tzadik, v'raloi, rosha, v'tov, l'akana. The answer is, what do you know? What do you know the rosha is? Maybe what you think is the rosha with the tattoos and with the things and with the breaking shot. Who knows? Maybe he's really, really a tzaddik. What do you know? Somebody looks like a... And the tzaddik, do you really think that he's such a tzaddik that always can't need? Who knows what he does in private, what he does really deep down? Is this Jonas? What do you know? So therefore, the answer to Moshe Rabbeinu's question was, apparently the Chassam Sofer says this, I'm not saying this on my own, the Chassam Sofer says that what you think really is a tzaddik, and therefore, you don't really know what goes on in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's cheshbonus. What an interesting, powerful thought. I think it's very, 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 very interesting. Okay, what?
The other expression that you don't understand what's in front.
Retrospect. Oh, I see, in retrospect, that's very nice. Oh, very nice thought, retrospect, the hindsight. Right. But yes, so you're saying it's similar kind
of... Either of the kesher is the back of the head.
Ah, okay.
It only shows
what's revealed.
You only see what's revealed, what's open, what's disclosed.
Rabbi Sai, Dinei Birkas HaShachar, very interesting halachas. Before proceeding with halachas Birkas HaShachar, let us see the introduction of the Mishnah Berurah, which I find very interesting. It's the two lines before Sif Aleph. Koidim Boile Beis HaKnesses. Some of us will be able to relate to this much more than others. Koidim Boile Beis HaKnesses, before a person enters the shul. Have you got it? Just before Simon Membov in Mishnah Berurah. Pa'ocha Adain Be'achotza Beis HaKnesses, before enters the courtyard of the shul. Yoima Ishal Tzei Beveis Elohim Nelech Berogesh. A person should say the following words, which is the Pasuk as well. I believe in Mishle perhaps. Beveis Elohim Nelech Berogesh. We should enter into the house of Hashem. Berogesh. Literally, Berogesh means with. Yeah, so some say that there is, I'm just saying it's in brackets, this is not the real thing, yeah? That is also, Bregesh also is abbreviation for, in Yiddish, yeah? Regen, the Reish is Regen, which is rain. Gimel is Gevetta, if it's like storming. And Shin is Shnei, which is snow. So, basically, Gim Nelech Beregesh. We enter the Beis Hashem, it's Yiddish, yeah? But with the rain, whether it's snowing, whether it's raining, whether it's... How does it work in Lashon HaKodesh? Ruach Geshem Shelek. That's right. Yeah, very good. Yeah, you might be part of the same boat. Yeah, so very nice. So a person should enter the Beis, whether it's raining or snowing, whatever the weather condition is, you enter shul. You go to shul. Okay, V'yagish V'yir Sa'atzmoy Be'chnosoy LeBeis HaKnesses. That's really interesting. Look at that. V'yagish, who does that? And he should feel, he should tremble, he should have a certain sensation of, not fear, but awe. That's it, exactly, awe. When you enter the shul, you're entering the house of Hashem. It's a mikdash me'at. You should feel a certain awe. When you enter the shul, v'yamtin, you should wait a bit, v'yishe me'at, v'yoyma, and then you should say, v'ani b'roev chazdecho ovo b'yisecho, v'shlach v'lechol kodshecho, b'yirosecho. V'achach ikonis, and only after you enter. It's interesting. He says, before entering, have that sense of awe, before you enter shul. A couple of points on that. First of all, it's interesting that previous generations, I think they said, my grandfather used to say that in the olden days, I think it was much more common than nowadays. And what's interesting also, he doesn't say what not a lot of people say when... Mishnah Berurah doesn't say what some people do say nowadays. What do people do say upon entering? Matoivu. Mishnah Berurah does not mention Matoivu. But he mentions this over here. He should say, V'ani b'roev chazdecho, over be'isecho v'shlach v'lechol kodshecho, b'irosecho, before entering. He doesn't say it. Mishnah doesn't. I don't believe he says it. He doesn't say that you should say it, but that's what people do. So it's interesting that sense of awe. Now, I know it's not fashionable. And we live nowadays in Golos, and we are where we are. But I must emphasize and stress that those of us who have been privileged to be brought up in the big shuls. Sorry, I'm always going to have to say, where I come from, And this big, beautiful Yekki shuls, it makes an incredible, deep roshem. You go to the shul and you sense it. Whenever you go to shul, you feel that, when you go in. You feel it. And these big, large shuls, that there was some criticism. Some people said in the 1890s, in the 1900s, when these huge shuls were built, why do you need to spend the equivalent of millions on a shul? What do you need that for? These big, huge buildings. Make a besmeresh. Nice little shul. A cloise, as it used to be called. A little besmeresh. What do you need that for? It doesn't fit the purpose. What's the wrong? A house, you convert it. What's the big deal? The answer is no, because there's that sense of, it's something very real. When you daven, it comes with a, do you know what I mean? Bells and Shalom, yeah. There is that. When you... Size matters. Size matters. It does. Pardon? It's unbelievable, yeah. Yeah, it really does make a difference. You beautiful purpose-built shul, it makes a roshim. When it's built, the architects, they knew how to do it. I don't know if you appreciate, do you feel what I'm... It's a... No, I don't know if anybody can relate to what I'm saying. And that's precisely what Mishmu is talking about. What's that?
You don't
want
to say non-Jewish
buildings,
are you?
Pardon?
You don't mean to compare it to
Yeah, I know. So that was perhaps part of the, in Eastern Europe, they felt that Yekas, well, you know, why are you comparing it for? You know, you're doing these things that look a bit like me. Oh, I see. Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, it's true as well. It's true. You can have both. So but you can have both. No, but it's true. There was a criticism that where does that come from? All that, but the reality is that it didn't come from comparing ourselves to Goisha service buildings, service houses, and their tiflis. It didn't come from there. It came from having a really beautiful shul. It's very very meaningful. It really makes a difference. And then a person would say, "Vani b'rav chazdecha over besecha." Upon entering, and then you enter. Okay, now I just don't know if it's still. I don't know if there is a point of saying it when you go into a little bit medrash. Perhaps, right? So if so, then a person should accustomize himself according to Mishlibu. Before you enter the Smedrash, you say this Pasuk. I don't know if many of us do that. It's a very nice thing according to the Mishlibu. Continues the Shulchanoch. Kshoy Mishnosa Yoimai, the kind of Shama. When a person wakes up, so you go back now, I suppose, to the beginning of, we've discussed tzitzis and tefillin, now we go to davening. Jewish knows when a person wakes up, yom alekai neshama, and then you should say the book, alekai neshama, v'kshish ma'kol ha'tanegoil, when a person hears the coil, the sound, the voice of a rooster, yivori chanois and esech v'bino. Yeah, but let's just hold on for a moment before we proceed, because I want to look at the mishnebuz over here. Mishnebuz of Kotna Aleph says, kshioil, when a person wakes up, so here it says, Mishnah Berurah says, Kol ha-brachos ha-elu, all the brachos that we're going to be mentioning now, which we know as, how are they called? Birkas Hashachar, the brachos of the morning. All those brachos, humushum the osul el-adam lehenois, a person is not allowed to benefit, to derive benefit, min ha-olam hazeh, from this world, b'li bracha. You're not allowed to enjoy the world, the physical world, without the bracha, whoever does benefit from this world without reciting a bracha, it's to some extent as if it's mal. What's mal? What's that?
Trespass.
Me'il is not trespassing.
It's one of the translations.
But it's not accurate because mal means if you're taking me'il, what had you say?
Deconsecration,
that sounds better, because you are taking something, me'ile really, halachically speaking, me'ile is if you're taking something which is hekdesh, and you are taking it away and you're misusing for something choil. That's me'ile. So,
trespass can be used figuratively.
Is it?
As well as
I didn't know that. Okay.
But it's not the most normal way of using the word.
Okay, I like yours. Deconsecration is good. Yeah? So. Okay, but what the Mishtibu is saying over here is that the Birkas Hashachar, it's a chiddush rabbosai, that the Birkas Hashachar, we know, we're familiar with this concept, if you're eating an apple, you're not saying, B'Yepi'o'etz, yeah, I'm taking a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kivyachul, create this apple, and I'm failing to make a bracha, that's me'ile. It's me'ile, Kodesh Baruch Hu only lets me eat it, that's what the Mevoshim explained. Kodesh Baruch Hu only allows me to eat it, I'm meant to eat it, I'm meant to enjoy it, sure, but as long as I don't make a bracha, Kodesh Baruch Hu keeps the right to himself, kivyochel. But if I am making a bracha, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, go and eat it. So you So it's me'ila before I recite the bracha. Once I recite the bracha, I have got the permission to enjoy it. So we're familiar when it comes to those brachas. Here we're learning it's not just the birkas, the brachas on eating, but it goes much further than that. It goes also to the birkas hashach. So when I wake up and I say, Kodesh Baruch Hu, thank you so much for allowing me to hear the coil of a rooster, and when I'm gonna be reciting Bracha Mal B'Sharumim, getting dressed and seeing the vision, etc. All those brachas that we're gonna be talking about, these are all part of Birkas Haneni according to the Mishnah. It's all part that if I have to, and Akadosh Baruch Hu allows me to enjoy this as long as I recite the bracha beforehand. It's an important Mishnebura. The Rami Kroya Dodid is a contradiction in Psokim. Ksiv Lashem Oretzim Loya. On the one hand, it says in the Pasuk, Lashem Oretz Loya, Kodesh Baruch Hu. Everything belongs to Kodesh Baruch Hu, Loya, and its contents. Kadosh Baruch Hu's world is all His. But on the other hand, it says that the world belongs to us, to mankind. So the Gemara answers, well, it's all true. One is before you recite a bracha, one is after you said a bracha. Before you said a bracha, all belongs to Kadosh Baruch Hu still. But after you said a bracha, you can enjoy it. It's yours. וקודם ברוכי להשם ואסורים לו כהקדש שהוא להשם ואחר ברוכי הוא לכל בני אדם. And he says this in Meila. We recite Eloi Kain Hashem, says the Mishnah Mitzvah Kotten Beis, Mishnosoi, from his sleep, Rotzolem Adavke Koidim Soif Shnosoi, for Loi Kozman Shokit Beis Shal Shetia. A person is meant to say the Baruch of Eloi Kain Hashem straight away upon awaking, not later than that. And then you should say Eloi Kain Hashem, as Mishnah says, Tzorech Lehafzik Me'at Ben Eloi Kain Hashem. A person should stop briefly between Eloi Kain Hashem. Why? Why can you not say like Kaneshama? Shouldn't start to me, but you say you should make it. Yeah, because Cholila, if a person says like Kaneshama, as if you're referring to a Kaddish Baruch, it doesn't make any sense. But like Kaneshama, so no, of course that's not what it means. It means Elokai Hashem. That's how you start the Baruch, referring to Kaddish Baruch. Neshama shenasat to be the Neshama that you've given me, etc., etc. So then Elokai and Neshama are disconnected and disjointed. They're not; it's not intrinsically connected. So Elokai, common Neshama shenasat to be. Yes, Zorich lahafzik ma'at ben Elokai and Neshama kedei shelo nishma shaneshama hi Eloi hav chalila. That we shouldn't think that shouldn't sound like and imply that Neshama is what we are serving. Cholila. But dinei beg zolikai. Neshama is discussed later. Okay, la sechvi. We're going to finish with that for this evening. What's a sechvi? Sechvi, Mishnah says, Halev nikra sechvi. Belosh namikra. First one, noisin le sechvi bina. Interpretation number one is a sechvi is the heart. Hanoisin le sechvi bina. That our heart, sechvi, our heart, has got sufficient cognitive abilities to understand what is day and what is night. We're cognitively able to comprehend, to follow, to understand, to recognize. Our heart is able to understand. Pshat number one. I don't think that's what article translates, right? How does the article translate?
Probably rooster.
Rooster, I also think that's the common translation. Second translation is, in the second interpretation is exactly what you're referring to. That that it means letarnegol sechvi in some language in Arabi in Arabic languages letarnegol roots is called a sechvi, and therefore we thank Kadosh Baruch Hu and a sechvi binor. Rabbi said, summarize what we discussed today. We spoke initially about the concept of going to shul, feeling the sense of awe, and reciting the pasuk of Avani Berev Chazdorov Beisecho. We further discussed when a person wakes up, he should say Elokei Neshama. We spoke about a concept that it's a Me'ila because it's a Birkas Hanen, and if a person fails to make a Bracha Cholil, it's as if he's enjoying from HaKadosh Baruch Hu without permission. We further discussed also that a person should say Elokei Neshama straight away upon waking up. We spoke about a short interruption between Elokei Neshama. That's it for this evening.